Things in Hebrews chapter 11. And if you'll turn there with me tonight, Hebrews chapter 11, just a little portion of Hebrews chapter 11. You can do an awful lot of studying from just this one chapter. There's an awful lot to it. But it's the chapter of faith in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 11 is the chapter of faith, and that's what we need. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we've got to understand what this thing of faith is really all about. And I want to look at verse 32, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 32. And the apostle is writing, I believe it's the apostle Paul. Nobody really knows for sure, but I believe that it is. Just feel in my spirit that it's the apostle Paul that wrote this. Hebrews 11:32, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon. Everybody said Gideon.
Gideon.
We got any Gideons here tonight?
Amen.
All right. Praise the Lord. Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets. Praise God. I want to talk about Gideon tonight because he had a problem. And if you look in the scripture, it talks about the prophets of old, and it says they were men just like you and I, and they had the same passions, they had the same temptations, they had the same shortcomings that you and I have. And I think that's why the Lord included them in the Word of God here, so that we can look at them and we can say, that's me right there.
Amen.
And if they did it, I can do it.
Amen.
If they made it, I can make it. Praise God. So I want to talk about Gideon a little bit here tonight. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for truth tonight. Ask you to anoint your precious Word. Speak to these wonderful, good people here tonight. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You can be seated tonight. And I'm sure I won't go a long time, but I do have some things that I need to talk about and to cover here in this message tonight. But the story of Gideon is one of interest to us because Gideon had a basic weakness, a weakness that I'm convinced that every person on the face of the earth struggles with, and we call it a low self-esteem. It's how we view ourselves, and it really isn't a low self-esteem for the child of God as much as it is a lack of understanding of how God works in the affairs of men. If we can understand how God works, then we will have a different outlook about ourselves. Amen. My pastor used to make the comment, and it was always funny when he said it, but the scripture says not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. And we focus on that part of it, that we should not think highly of ourselves, but he would say, for heaven's sake, think of yourself the way you should. Amen.
Amen.
And I think that's what we need to do. We need to think about ourselves as God wants us to think about ourselves. And too often we get the idea that God uses great people who have proven abilities and great works of the flesh, but the truth of the matter tonight is God is not interested in talents. He's not interested in abilities. He's not interested in somebody that can do great and mighty things. And in fact, the scripture tells us, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26, excuse me, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, God hath chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And so what we have to do is we have to modify the way we think about ourselves, and we have to align ourselves with the way that God thinks about us. Amen. Somebody said amen. Praise God. And if you'll notice in Scripture, most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time that God moved in a mighty way and there were miracles that took place and there was a mighty move of God and they overcame their enemies, it was when the children of Israel were in the midst of spiritual trouble. There was difficulty, there was trouble, there was all kinds of negative things that were taking place. And this story of Gideon is no different. Gideon was born into a time where Israel had basically given up and there was no faith in the nation whatsoever. And it was at this point in time, Judges chapter 6, if you turn to Judges chapter 6, I'm going to use a few of the scriptures here from this chapter because it talks about Gideon here. Judges chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. Brother Charlie, are you there? Who's there tonight? Brother Reed, are you there? All right, read verse 11 and 12. Well, praise God. So here he was. He was afraid. He was hiding. He was threshing wheat by a wine press. That's not what you do with a wine press, to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel appeared to him, and the angel said, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Probably Gideon looked around and he thought, who are you talking to? You're not talking to me. The word valor here and mighty man of valor, the word valor means strength of mind in regard to danger. And it is a quality that enables a man to encounter danger with firmness, personal bravery, courage, prowess. And other words that it's hard to pronounce. But you get the picture here tonight that Gideon was looked at by the Lord and said, "You're a mighty man of valor." He had never been to war, he had never done anything, he was not from the best of lineage as far as his family was concerned. And too often, folks, we look at those things about ourselves and we say, God can't use me because I'm this, that, and the other. Well, I want to try to dispel that tonight from anybody that's here. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. We got to look at ourselves the way God sees us. Because the Lord... Well, praise God.
Amen.
Hold on. The Lord sees us one way, and we see ourselves another way.
That's right.
Most often.
Amen.
But what we need to do is see ourselves the way God sees us.
Yes.
And when we see the Lord as see ourselves as the Lord sees us, then we can understand the will of God in our lives. Because I don't believe that we can really truly see the will of God in our lives until we understand that God is with us. Praise the Lord. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
We'll get going here in just a minute. But I wanted to lay a foundation here. And so what Gideon had to ask and what the Lord showed him was his call for Gideon's life. And I want to ask us here tonight, I want to ask each and every individual that's here tonight, what is God's call? What is God's will for your life as far as the specific will of God? We know the general will of God is to live for God, be faithful, do all the things that we know we're supposed to do. But then there is the specific will of God that will lead us into the plan that and the purpose that God created us for. Amen. And it goes, there's a big myriad of things that are encompassed in that. And if you're taking the call of God and doing something about it, I believe tonight that you will see supernatural things happen in your life.
Amen.
That's what I believe. That's what I've experienced in my walk with the Lord. And everybody who lives by the principles of Scripture are going to see miracles. And one of the things that we need to look at, one of the things we need to understand is how God views us. I need to look at how God sees me and what he wants to do in my life. And as it was with Gideon, he said, you know, how can this happen? You can't be talking to me. I'm just a nobody. I'm just a little person in Israel, a mighty man of valor. And he probably looked at, maybe he had a mirror in his pocket and he looked at it and he just laughed. Mighty man of valor, I've never done anything. I've never been in battle. I've never proven myself. Never done anything, but you're calling me a mighty man of valor. And in truth, I'm not a mighty man of valor. I don't have the qualities of valor which enables a man to encounter danger with firmness. Personal bravery, he could have said to the angel, I'm afraid. I don't qualify as a mighty man of valor because I'm afraid. There's fear in my heart. And I think probably the one thing that hinders us from, and this isn't the only one, but one thing that many, many times hinders us from doing something for the Lord is fear. Somebody said fear.
Fear.
Fear. Fear is a real bad thing. Amen. And we're looking at our world today, and I've got to be honest with you. I've had some fear in my heart about America.
Amen.
And the direction that our country is going. It doesn't keep me up at night. I just am afraid in that sense of the word. But I'm not going to get up and live my life according to that fear. Amen. I'm going to get up and I'm going to go through the day and do the things that I need to do and do the will of God, feed my family, whatever it is that you do every day. Amen. And we get up and we go on. And he was threshing wheat at the wine press because he was afraid. And the will of God, when we look at it this way, the will of God is the reality for our lives, not the surrounding conditions or circumstances.
Amen.
And so I'd like for us tonight, we need to forget the kind of thinking that's negative, and we need to join the new reality. Praise God. How about if we just make our own movement here tonight? Everybody's got a movement. Amen. We'll just call it the new reality.
Amen.
Wow, y'all are real excited here tonight. I'm sure I look real excited as well. Praise God. The new reality. What is the new reality? The new reality is simply this. It's the will of God. What's the will of God for your life, young person? Amen. What's the will of God for you, sir, ma'am? Every one of us that's here tonight, whatever God has called you to do, it's time to get up and do it. Amen. And it's time to put fear aside. It's time to say, I'm not going to be afraid of this anymore, but I'm going to step out and I'm going to do the will of God. Now, there are some that don't do the will of God simply because they don't want to. Amen. And like a Jonah that runs from the will of God. But that's far and few between. Usually it's because of this thing of fear. And so here's Gideon's answer to the call of God and the vision that God had for him. Verse 13, still at Judges chapter 6, verse 13. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us. Now think about this in relationship to yourself. Think about this and think about the way that you perceive the will of God for your personal life. Here was his answer. O my Lord, if the Lord be with us. Notice, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Praise God. Well, if God is for us, then why are we having all these difficulties? I pastored a church one time in the state of Wisconsin, and it was a troubled church, and I was there to preach faith, and I was there to pastor those folks. It was the very first church that I have ever pastored, and was there for a year, and tried to preach faith, and tried to preach revival, and a move of God. And I remember one night I was preaching revival. It's time to have revival. God wants to give us revival. And one of the gentlemen in the church stood up in anger, and he threw his Bible down on the floor, and he yelled out, then why isn't there any revival taking place? Praise God. Well, that kind of dampens the service just a little bit. And it dampened the service just a little bit that night. And he marched out of the church, and I had to pick the pieces up and go on. I tell you, ministry is an exciting thing. Praise God. It's a wonderful thing. And there's never a dull moment. Praise God. And he said, well, if the Lord is for us, then why has all this befallen us? Why are we having so many problems? Why can't we be like they were way back when? And he went on, look at this. And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. Praise God. Well, it's easy to look back, and I've lived for God enough years now that I can look back and talk about the good old days, praise God, and what wonderful services we were in and how there were great moves of God, and our pastor was such a man of God, and miracles that took place right in the sanctuary. And we hear the stories of Azusa Street in California, and thousands of people came, and they had services for about 4 years, every night and every day of the week, and miracles took place. We cannot fall into the trap, though, of saying, where is the Lord? Amen. If we're talking about revival, then why aren't we having revival right now? If we're talking about the same God of the Bible, then where be all the miracles which our fathers told us of? And why hasn't he delivered us from the hand of the Midianites? And the Lord responded in Judges chapter 6, and verse 14 and 15. And it says, the Lord looked upon him and said, go. Everybody said, go. You know, he didn't try to reason with him. He didn't try to say, well, it's because of this, that, or the other. He just answered him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Amen. And then, of course, this low self-esteem, this fear that he was not able to do this came upon him again. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor. Praise God. That's got nothing to do with it tonight. My family is poor in Manasseh, and Manasseh was a half-tribe, if I remember correctly. And I am the least in my father's house. Praise God. We cannot start looking at our situation and build a case of why we can't be used of God. Well, this, that, the other, and we start building a case, and before you know it, we've got a little notebook in our mind of the list of reasons why God can't use us and why God's going to use somebody else. But I'm telling you tonight, I'm telling all of us here tonight, that every person in this building and those that are a part of our church can be used of God and do the will of God in your life. And it doesn't matter where you're coming from. It doesn't matter what family you're a part of. If we will just stand up by faith and say, I want to be used of God. Amen. And so that was his answer. And here's the thing we all need to get out of our system. And that is that we have to measure up to a certain thing in order for God to use us. But I'm here to tell you tonight that God can do anything. Amen. I believe that with all of my heart. He has done everything. He created everything, and God can do anything if we'll just make ourselves available to Him. Well, praise God. There's got to be legs to our prayers. And we've got to get up and do something with the call of God in our lives. And so there were a few things that the Lord demanded of him. And Judges 6 and verse 25 and 26, it says, and it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, here the Lord is still speaking to Gideon, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is beside it. Build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Amen. And think about this here tonight, this thing of taking a stand. And that's what the Lord was saying here to Gideon. You need to take a stand. Amen. And if Dad's not going to come along, you need to take a stand, Gideon, and offer it in the place where he offers it, and use his own bullocks. Don't even go ask him, but go get the young bullocks and use them as offerings. Get ready for revival. Praise God. And I think all of us have to go through that place in our walk with God where we take a stand. I'm going to live for God. Are you going to live for God? You say, well, I don't have a lot at my disposal. You do. Amen. You've got the Word. You've got the Lord. And you've got a mind, and you've got a choice tonight. And what we need to do is take a stand. Praise God. And he said, Gideon, take a stand. And so he did. And you know, there's something about this story that's really exciting, and it's called rebellion. Amen. Rebellion. Rebellion is exhilarating, especially when you rebel for the right reason. Now, these young people are looking at me funny. Pastor, you want us to rebel? I want you to rebel against the devil. Praise God. I want you to rebel against this world. Amen. Well, praise God. Praise God. I think it's really exciting. Brother Mike was, Brother Steve was at the house last night. And you'll just have to figure out what that all means. But he was at the house last night and was talking about, I hope this is all right, Brother Mike, about the friend of yours that lives just down the road from me. And he saw him and said, "How are? What are you doing, Mike?" And he said, "Well, I'm listening to a preacher on the radio," and began to talk to him about church right there at McDonald's. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what, sometimes we get the idea, and Brother Mike, don't ever change the way that you reach out to people. Amen. Because we have the greatest thing in all of the world, and they need to hear the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Somebody told me one time about teaching Bible studies, and I don't say this to be critical of anyone, but they said, "Well, I can't teach Bible studies because I'm not a salesman like you." Amen. Well, the truth of the matter is, I'm not a salesman either. I don't make my living by being a salesman and selling things to people. I'll tell you what, if you're called of God to preach the word, you've got to be a teacher of the word, an instructor, or someone that carries the word that way. But not all of us are called to be preachers, but every one of us have been given a bag of seed. Amen. And some people's bag is real small, and so they spread it around, and that's the end of it. And some have thousands and thousands of acres that they farm, and they sow truckloads of seed, and they have great harvest. But I'll tell you what, both of them enjoy the miracle of God by putting a seed into the ground and watching it grow.
Amen.
Well, praise God. And it's so very, very true. And Gideon had to take a stand. And then verse 34 and verse 35, "The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, which also gathered after him." He started seeing a gathering of people that was going to help out. But what he had to do was blow a trumpet, amen, or make a declaration. Now, that doesn't mean you have to go around telling everybody what you're going to do, this, that, and the other. But what it simply means is you need to make a declaration to hell, praise God.
Amen.
To let the devil know, I'm living for God.
Right.
To let the devil know, I'm going to be used of God because he called me for this purpose. Amen. Romans 12 and 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Amen. And the will of God is good, it's acceptable, and it's perfect. Amen. That's what we were created for, was to do the will of God. That's why you're here tonight. That's why God called your name. Amen. And so then, Judges chapter 6 and verse 36, "Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool on the floor." And I won't go through the scripture, but it goes all the way down to verse 40, through verse 40, and he tested the will of God. And in some cases, you just can't jump out. As I said Sunday night, some people want to go and set the world on fire, and after a few weeks they're coming back for more matches. Amen. You don't want to do something that God hasn't called you to do. It's like the children of Israel that they said, we can't go into the promised land. And so the Lord said, you're going to wander for 40 years. And some of them said, well, we're going to go up. And Moses said, the Lord won't be with you if you go up. And they went up anyway, and it caused quite a bit of problem for them. Amen. But I'm telling you, when God speaks and God shows it to you, there's going to be others that will agree with it. Amen. For the most part, there's going to be some that will not think that you're able to do this, and we need to reject those. But your pastor's going to know that it's the will of God.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. Everybody around's going to know that it's the will of God. Amen. It's not the other way around. And so he made a fleece. That's where we get that word, is from right there. He put a fleece of wool, a sheepskin down, and he said, Lord, if this is your will, make the fleece of wool wet in the morning and let the ground around it be dry. And lo and behold, that's what it was. He was a little disappointed that that's the way it was. He was hoping it'd probably be the other way. And he said, okay, Lord, let's do another one. I'm going to put the fleece down here. And in the morning, if the fleece is dry and the ground around it is wet, I'll know it's the will of God. And lo and behold, in the morning, it was that way. The Lord was trying to show him that it was time to get busy and do the will of God. But this thing of self-esteem, low self-esteem, or not understanding the will of God and the working of God among people will really come back to haunt you time and time again. And so finally, he wanted to hear what the opposition was saying. I'm going to finish here in just a few moments, but Judges chapter 7, verses 9 through 11. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto Gideon, arise, get thee down unto the host. This would be the Midianites. For I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Phurah, thy servant, down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say. And you know what Gideon did? He went down with Phurah. Praise God. You know why? Because he was still afraid. He was still afraid. Don't beat yourself up if you struggle with fear. I think all of us struggle with fear at some point in time. Amen. Some more than others. But I think we all struggle with a little bit of fear that if I try this, I'm going to fail. But I'm telling you what, God is with us. And if it's the will of God, amen, there's going to be others that are going to be with you, just like they were with Gideon. And they will help you and encourage you to keep on going and do the will of God.
Amen.
And so what we need to do is we need to hear what hell is saying. Matthew 8 and verse 29. And behold, they cried out. Here were some devils, some demons from hell. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? Praise God. He got a glimpse here. We got a glimpse of what hell is saying about where we are. I think we give the devil too much credit. I've heard messages preached where all they talk about is the devil. Amen. And I don't really want to hear that much about the devil. I want to hear about what God has for us. Because he's really a non-player when it really comes down to it. Amen. He's just a created being. And we have the Holy Ghost. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Young people, this applies to you. Mom and dad, it applies to you. It applies to everyone that's here tonight. Amen. That the Lord is with us. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We heard that preached here a while back. Amen. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. He's not that powerful. He's not able to disrupt anything. Oh, he can cause troubles and problems and all of that. But I'm telling you what, it's for those that have an understanding. This is the will of God for my life. I know that I'm in the will of God, and I'm living for the Lord. Amen. The devil is going to flee, and I'm just going to resist him. I'm going to stand up and just keep right on moving. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. James chapter 2 and verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God. We believe that tonight. Thou doest well. Praise the Lord. There's a good one God scripture. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Amen. Do you know the devil's a believer tonight?
Amen.
He believes there's only one God, but he has deceived mankind into thinking that God is a triune God. Amen. Somebody told me, Abby told me before service, she was looking at a debate, and the other side of the debate said that God has three minds. Amen. That's real interesting. Amen. If God has three minds, then when one of them thinks, he's only using one-third of brain power. Praise God. And I didn't know that God had a brain anyway to begin with. I know he has a mind, but there are not three minds or three brains that God has. There's only one God tonight. There's only one God, and it is very significant that we understand that. And so the devil knows that, and he what? He trembles.
Amen.
He trembles. He trembles when a man of God or a woman of God gets on their knees and starts praying. He trembles. We don't see it, but he sees it. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are you? Amen. We need to make a declaration to hell and let hell know who we are and what we stand for.
Amen.
Philippians, excuse me, Philippians 2 and verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. And so at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. Satan is going to bow before Jesus Christ. And you know who's going to be with Jesus Christ when that takes place? It's going to be the church.
Amen.
It's going to be his bride. Amen. It's going to be the one that he has called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. I believe the Lord wants to show us through Hebrews chapter 11, where it talks about Gideon having faith and doing great things for God. I think he wants to show us that it doesn't matter who we are, we can be used of God.
Amen.
You don't need to do this, that, or the other. You just need to rethink. You need to have a renewing of your mind and change the way that you think and the way you look about yourself. Amen. And look at God. I believe God can do anything. We've got to quit using excuses,
amen,
and just get up and do it. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God, because the Lord is on the winning side, and I'm on his side tonight.
Amen.
Let's stand together. Can we do that? So you look at the story of Gideon, and you say, look what God did with one man of faith. They went against the Midianites. with a candle, had to light the candle, put a pitcher over it, put a trumpet underneath your arm, and go. And when the cry goes out, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, take the pitcher off the candle and break it. Hold the light up and get your trumpet out and blow your trumpet. Amen. What does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. We are the light of the world. And what's hiding that light, what's inside of us, what's hiding that light is the vessel of clay. That's your flesh. And when our flesh is broken, then the light shines and the gospel goes forth and is heralded to the world. Praise God. But when we depend on our flesh and we depend on our mind and we think about things in a logical way, then we're just going to be standing there with a candle underneath the pitcher, and the enemy's going to have his way. But God brought victory that night. The enemy got all confused and started fighting amongst himself. I think that's awesome. I do. I think that is so awesome that the devil can get that confused and start fighting himself and defeat himself. Praise God. I just really believe God's got a sense of humor tonight. Why would he do it that way? I just think he's got a sense of humor. You know, I think he's got a sense of humor that he would take somebody like me and fill me with the Holy Ghost, put the Word of God inside of me. Who, me? I'm just an old clay vessel that's not even made perfectly. Amen. You want to do something with me? Why, God's got to have a sense of humor. Praise the Lord. And when people say, look what happened. Amen. How did that happen? And he did that? Praise God. No, God did that. God did that. Let's pray together right now. Let's ask God to put the word down deep in our hearts tonight.